Welcome to Wellness Renaissance and Gluten-Free and Other Special Diets podcast, supporting you on your unique journey to finding your best health.
Hello, this is Judy Brewer with Wellness Renaissance and Gluten-Free and Other Special Diets. This is our first episode, the intro episode for our Wellness Renaissance podcast. And today I have Joel joining me.
Hello.
Joel is joining us from our farm in northern Wisconsin, and I'm actually in Duluth, Minnesota.
Small farm.
Small farm. Tiny farm. Tiny farm, but growing. just to give you an idea of what we're going to be chatting about today, I'm going to give you an idea of who I am and what I do and talk about the podcast goals a little bit and then introduce how Joel is part of the big picture here. And Joel will be a bounce board for our conversation as we go along. Mm-hmm. But first of all, I want to read just a little section of a book that really very much captures the underpinnings of what I want to do and why I want to do what I'm doing, kind of my ambition. I read this book a few times already, but when I ran across this particular phrase or conversation in the book, it just really hit me as kind of a little bit of a light bulb moment of, yes, this is it. This is what I'm working towards and what drives me to build my own business, basically, and do things a little more independently. So the book is called Anti-Cancer, A New Way of Life, and it's written by David Servan Schreiber. I was introduced to this book by an oncologist here in Duluth, and it's pretty interesting, but it's basically a doctor's perspective of being a doctor, finding out you have cancer, and then going through the process of figuring out, okay, how do I treat myself? How do I do this, have cancer, survive cancer, the best way that we know how, be it via what doctors have to say or his own research. And so the conversation that I want to read is basically the author of the book talking about a conversation he had with a friend of his who is an oncologist. And he was sharing with his friend some information about some research he had done with people who had cancer and then who had spent some time in some of the retreat centers. A lot of them are in California and other places where you're basically going to live to learn how to live with cancer. You're learning what foods to eat, what foods to avoid, how to take care of yourself emotionally and that kind of thing. So it's some exercise, usually sometimes yoga, meditation, that kind of thing. So what he found is that the people who are doing this, going through these retreat centers, are living 2 and 3 times longer with their cancer and living well than other people who don't do this with the same type and stage of cancer. And so he's sharing with this information with his friend. And his friend says, these aren't ordinary patients. They're better educated, more motivated, and in better health. The fact that they live longer doesn't prove anything. And the author goes on to say, which was exactly what I was thinking when I was reading this, was, but that's precisely the point. If patients are better informed about their disease, if they look after their body and mind, and if they are given what they need to improve their health, then they can mobilize the body's vital functions to fight cancer. They live better and for longer. And kind of a big deal in that point. And I think that that's what I'm trying to get to help people to basically be part of the non-ordinary that this doctor is talking about. Let's make what's not ordinary the ordinary. Let's help people be educated. Let's help them have the information so they can not get cancer in the first place. And as like I said, as much as this is talking about getting cancer or healing from cancer, it's really about preventing cancer. And that's one of the things in our country that we're more of the fix-it people. You know, we focus more on fixing the problem after the problem has occurred than we do so much on prevention. And that's certainly shifting in our country. Joel and I both spent some time in India, mm-hmm. and they tend to be more on the let's try to make the situation so you never get it in the first place. So that's kind of just the different ways of thinking and very, very interesting. And I think that there are many paths to that, to the prevention, to having the best life possible and giving yourself the best odds to not having cancer in the first place. So I want to read one other little section of this book too, because it also plays into my goals and where I come from and what I want to do with the work that I'm doing. The doctor in the book is talking about how we're learning things about how to prevent cancer. We're learning what causes cancer regarding inflammation and that kind of thing. So we're learning what to do to prevent cancer, to lower the inflammation in our bodies and that kind of thing. And so the question is how come we can't learn these things from our doctors? Because we typically have something wrong, we go to the doctor, we try to use them as we need them to help us answer those questions. And what he kind of talks about in this book, again, is, I'll read the paragraph that kind of explains that. There's little likelihood that our physicians will suggest these approaches. Changes in lifestyle cannot be, by definition, patented. Thus, they do not become medications and they do not require prescriptions. This means that most physicians don't consider them within their realm. So it is up to each of us to make them our own, these lifestyle changes. So that's what I do. That's what I want to do and kind of the goal of the podcast and the goal of the work that I do with people one-on-one and groups and teaching groups and education classes and that kind of things. So who am I and what do I do? I was actually given by a mentor of mine. She said, well, you're a health education entrepreneur, which is I think fairly accurate with all of the things that I'm attempting to do. I'm on my own health journey, which has really driven the education for me, the education that I have around health and that kind of thing. Once you kind of dive into trying to figure your own stuff out, you end up getting a pretty solid education. And for me, that turned into an interest and a passion for learning in general, but really for also helping other people figure some of their own stuff out. I've kind of always been an outlier I don't quite fit in to do this thing and then this result happens. And some of the challenges that I have had just don't quite fit. So I totally understand people who are in that boat. And I love to work with anybody and help them find pieces that are new to them or that might fit into what they're doing. But health really feels like a puzzle. And I think that's kind of true for everybody, but some people's pieces fit quicker and easier and differently than others. Our biology, our habits, our environment, emotional relationship with food and habits really does play into our health in a lot of different ways. And so it's about helping, like I say, people finding those pieces and feeling good about making health easier. So I want to take a minute and encapsulate and summarize what the podcast is going to be about and who might find it beneficial. If health and wellness topics are interesting to you, and I tend to focus in the natural, holistic, complementary forms and views of wellness and health modalities and opportunities, as I said before, for many of us, health is kind of a big puzzle that we continuously work to put together for ourselves. And my hope is that by sharing perspectives, resources, maybe even introducing you to options that you maybe didn't even know existed, I can provide some information, motivation, and inspiration at the risk of being too rhymey. It's definitely exciting and empowering when we discover information and things kind of click in. Something clicks into place that we gain a new understanding about ourselves or our bodies, our well-being, what motivates us. Those can be really helpful. And I want to keep us very curious about ourselves and the bigger picture of health and wellness and how we experience that. And by sharing ideas that help us to keep asking better questions And maybe those questions are to your doctor, and maybe those questions are just while you're at the grocery store, but concepts that can help us piece things together to be more knowledgeable agents of our own bodies and our own health and well-being. The whole idea behind Wellness Renaissance is helping people find their personal wellness renaissance, if you will. And that, for some, that's going to be a big leap forward. And for others, it's just taking those little steps, whatever that means to you at the time. So that's what I want to support. We're all in different places on our journey, and we're all in different places of knowledge and understanding. I definitely encourage you to take whatever sparks your interest and whatever speaks to you from, you know, what I'm putting out there. And so just to kind of give you an idea, because I know that there are some people that are planning on listening who they're not really familiar with podcasts and the format and what that looks like. And in a sense, my personal format as well. So each episode will have some sort of a theme, and that theme may be in the form of a health topic, presentation, or some sort of conversation and discussion. It may be a practitioner sharing their perspectives and knowledge and details about their particular modality. Perhaps we'll talk to restaurants or maybe an agency or an organization that has some insights that we can all benefit from. And then whatever creative ideas and opportunities come our direction, definitely want to take advantage of that too. And who knows what that might look like. But getting information out into the world that needs to be out into the world. So will we cover weight loss and cancer prevention and food sensitivities and other particular issues? Yeah, we definitely will. And they might be topics on their own, or they might be woven into other topics and presentations as well.
You're saying we're not going to be completely always on topic?
No, I don't think I can do that. Well, and I'm just kind of pointing out too that this is it. Really, the whole concept is about health and wellness, and that's going to be pulling from a lot of different things as to what that looks like. So as we all kind of know, health and wellness, or health, our health, it doesn't come in a happy little neat labeled package. And I think sometimes we've been given that as an idea, and it would be nice if that's the way it worked, but it really isn't. And we're all learning that. It's all very interconnecting and interdependent, even with our own being, but it ripples through us, right?
Yeah.
Everything we do connects to everything in us. And if you want to take that even a step further and a little bit different lens on it, into kind of our community as well. So in my perspective, health and wellness has a really big footprint, and I want to explore the shenanigans out of that footprint. That's basically my ambition for this podcast and what I want to do here. So then the next piece is, who am I and what do I do? I am a health and lifestyle coach. I work with small groups. I work with one-on-one. I do health consulting, and I'll explain what that means to me in a moment here. I do a lot of work with food sensitivities and food allergies. So food sensitivity consulting for individuals, for say, if you are starting, you either want to figure out if you have a food sensitivity or you want to try eating a little differently, or maybe it's helping integrate a family into new methods or new situations. So like if somebody has a new allergy or celiac disease and you're trying to figure out, okay, how does all this work? I do education on what food sensitivities, allergies, and celiac disease are, and kind of talk about the fact and the fad of all of that. I also do training for restaurants, certified safety training to help restaurants serve their customers who have food allergies and food sensitivities safely. I also have a food sensitivity group in Duluth. It's open to the public. We meet once a month, typically the second Tuesday of each month. So if you're in or around Duluth, feel free to contact me to find out about the upcoming events that we do have. It's really turned into a food and health education group. Every month we have a little different topic. Sometimes we have doctors and other people come in and share the information that they have. It's pretty great. I've been doing that since 2010, and it's been a lot of fun.
And a lot of cool food demos and actually some hands-on events that I think have been pretty cool too.
Yeah. We've had, like you say, we've had a couple really great food demos. One of the guys in my group did a great demo on everything coconut, making everything with coconut, coconut oil. So fantastic. And then we also had a raw food demo too, quite a while back. That was pretty great. We ended up having what were the two things we had? We had two different types of blenders. We had
I think it was a Vitamix and a Blendtec.
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. And so we made the same things in different blenders, and it was pretty great. We had a really good time. It tasted fantastic.
I'll watch for that.
So I said I was going to talk about a little bit about what health consulting is, and I just want to make the differentiation between health coaching and health consulting. So health coaching might be something that, you know, we think of that more as a consistent person. You have maybe you meet once every X time period. And when I do coaching, I can be a lot more flexible on that because it really comes down to what the person needs. So if you don't need to meet every X amount of time, you want to meet when it's mostly appropriate. But consulting can be one of those half an hour, 45 minute conversations of here's where I'm at. What ideas might you have, or where, you know, kind of like almost one coaching session, but you might talk about where the person is at. Just to give an example, talking to one person who was diagnosed with a challenge, and through the Western medicine, the doctor she had been through, she just kind of run into a bit of a dead end. They had given her some information and she was trying to figure out how to deal with this particular issue. And they only knew very limited things of ideas of what she might do to help herself. And so we talked for, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, and threw out some additional ideas, asking more details. And sometimes the doctor has time for, and gave her a bunch of ideas. And at the end of the call, she said, well, this is great. I learned a lot of different things that my doctors have never told me about, and give me some things to think about. So that's really good. It's fun to be able to do that. For sure.
Mm-hmm. I had this late epiphany a little ways back, maybe a week or two back. We had discussed that I've kind of been getting mini health coaching or consulting or whichever side of that you want to talk on from you throughout our entire relationship. Just because it's, you know, we'll be chatting away on something where I've got, you know, two or three options of directions to go with my health choices. And we just kind of spend some time just mushing through what are the best options, and you bring up the fourth and the fifth option that I hadn't thought about. So it doesn't have to be a huge structured or, you know, what you think of as coaching sessions. It can just be as loose as let's just look at this, you know, X issue you're bringing and see what we can think about with it.
Right. I think you've mentioned this before too. When you go to the doctor and there's only a certain amount of time and a certain amount of things sometimes that they can tell you. And this allows talking to somebody, it allows to dive in a little bit more deeply, get some more feedback, what's going to work for you, what isn't, you know, and you can do whatever you're doing in conjunction with the doctor and that kind of thing. It's not to take you off that path, as much as it is to add to that path. And the point here is to give you the best health possible. So we want to, you know, want to explore that and figure out how that's going to work for you. And like I say, sometimes people go home from the doctor and they're told, one huge example that has come up multiple times is, you know, the diagnosis of celiac disease. And one woman I was talking to, you know, she got literally a message on her answering machine of you have celiac disease, and yeah, go Google it, you'll be fine. And that was the entirety of the education she got. Oh, and,
it's almost sad for
you know, well, right. And she was in the fortunate place of having another family member who had celiac, which the doctors didn't know. So really sending somebody out on that, you know, that's like kind of wow. You know, here you got this life changing diagnosis. And if you don't know, or you live in an area that it's, you know, I mean, yes, you can Google it, but it's kind of nice to have somebody talk you through how this might work rather than go get gluten-free bread. You'll be fine.
You just better feedback as to, yeah, you can't have wheat. Well, and what does that totally affect, and what options are there? Because there's a whole set of options that you can go a different direction and still have nice menus.
Right, exactly. And just to be able to not have to sift through the entire web and figure out what's real and what's not and what makes sense. But to be able to kind of have a real conversation about that with some true guidance and know what to watch out for, things like that. And not get scared because, that could be big and daunting. Mm-hmm. So just to give you a quick summary of the education that I do have, not that in some ways it matters a whole lot, but I'm a community health education major, or public health and promotion major, whichever you want to call the major that I have. And I'm a community health education specialist. And I tend to be varied in my interest and very broad. I love learning about a lot of things. So I have minors in psychology, philosophy, and sustainability, which actually sound like they're very different, but they really actually kind of cohese together a lot better than you think. And I think it added a lot to my education to be able to see those cross connections, quite honestly. And really, in some ways, almost more importantly than the education that I have, is not only the experience, but the huge collection of self-study and the trainings that I have done. I've really been lucky to have some of the experiences that I've had to train with some really great doctors through some of the work that I have done. So it's pretty cool. A lot of that experience and my philosophy and all that added together are really what shapes me and gives me some of the broad knowledge that I do have. So Joel has been a partner with me kind of on a lot of my health journey, which has been long and interesting.
I think everybody is. It's just we only see it from the outside.
Yeah, that's very true. And we have, like I said, we have a farm together in northern Wisconsin. And currently we have a garden and chickens and bunnies. And that's pretty exciting. And I'm in Duluth most of the time, mostly for work, to be able to do the work that I am wanting to do. But the podcast really comes about something that I've wanted to do a long time. But these conversations, the conversations that Joel and I have on a daily basis and over the kitchen table, yeah. Basically.
Kitchen table / phone /
yeah.
Sitting at each other's, our own kitchen tables and working things out.
Exactly. So that's kind of what we want to bring is we have these conversations with each other, and a lot of times it's just us or a few other people, and it's fun to share them with the world, because sometimes they just kind of feel very big, and we end up having discussions with other people and realizing there's a lot of things people just aren't really aware of. So that's kind of the goal, is to be able to share that.
Yeah. Or even the awareness of, you're aware of 95% of it, but that 5% piece just chunks in and really gives you a new insight to something.
Right. And not saying that we have 100% of all of the information, but if we have the 5% that you don't have, that's pretty, you know, that can be really helpful.
Yeah. And I mostly don't have formal training in health. I've worked in the healthcare industry as a computer guy for a very long time, a couple of decades. So I've got a lot of the insight, kind of the more the standard Western medicine model approach of it, the good and the bad of it. So I can sometimes give a little bit more insight as to some of the crazy decisions that get made in our healthcare system at this point.
Right, exactly. And that has been really interesting for me, but I think for both of us, and just some of the information education / training that I and we have had, and then kind of get to see the inside of it. And so I know there have been, like, when I was doing my working on my degree, occasionally things would come up and people would just say, oh, you know, that didn't happen. That didn't, you know, and I could go, I have examples. Yeah. So it's been a very interesting educational piece that I think has added a lot to my understanding of our health and our healthcare industry, which probably is part of the driver for me to kind of want to do the stuff that I'm doing, because I can see that there's sort of this intertension going on. And so I can see why people would experience things one way and not realize there's a whole nother world out there, other options.
And just as a slight CYA, we're not talking about, you know, when you say examples, you're not saying, you know, Dr. Johnson did this to Mr. Smith. You're just saying the broad example of this general thing happens in the healthcare industry.
Right, exactly. More of a situation, a trend, not a specific.
Yeah, we're not out breaking HIPAA laws or anything.
So some of the goals and the purpose that I want the podcast to serve is to help share information, create awarenesses, education, and inspiration for us to keep up our own health every day, keep us motivated to take care of ourselves in the best way possible, and to provide information to support us to have the tools to be agents and advocates for ourselves when it comes to taking care of our own health, whether that be on a daily basis, and also that may be within the healthcare system in some cases. So it kind of just depends on what you need and what you get from whatever we're talking about. When we go to the doctor, we kind of talked about this a little bit already. Not only are we kind of limited by time with the doctor, what isn't like, you know, typical
5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. If you're really lucky, 30 minutes. I've been spoiled by having a few really good doctors where you can actually have good conversations. But, the reality is you can't get a lot done in that amount of time. And so from, our perspective as the patient, but as the doctor's perspective or the practitioner, I mean, this is more than just doctors. This is just general health practitioners, too, in many cases, is that they know what they know. They know what they have been trained on and their field of study. And certainly many keep in touch or keep educating themselves on broader modalities or the things, things that are up and coming, be it, science or ways of doing things. But the reality of with that is there's so much to know, so much to learn, and we can't keep up with the things in our own health search with the things that we are trying to do for our own bodies and our own broader picture of health. Try to be a doctor where you're trying to take care of everybody's issues and learn everything. So there is a reality that there is just they can't know everything. And I think that there's probably also just human moments of maybe forgetting to make a recommendation or say something or whatever. The human condition can kind of get in the way there. But we have also kind of societally and kind of as human beings. And I think this is getting a little bit less than it used to be. But we've kind of made doctors to be sort of gods, right? They need to have all the answers. And I'm totally guilty of that. I want my doctor to have all the answers. I just want to walk in. Here's the situation. Here's what you need to do. Poof, fixed. I like that. That sounds so good to me.
Mm-hmm. Human beings are a little bit more complex than cars. And the can't walk in and get a mechanic to do that. So
it's a good point. And sometimes I think we find or we feel like if they don't have the answer, then maybe there isn't an answer.
Or that their answer is the only answer, which is probably just as dangerous.
Right, exactly. And so sometimes we take that, okay, this is what the doctor says, and that's all, and we don't look further, which sometimes is the absolute appropriate thing to do, but sometimes it's nice to explore your options and just know that there might be other places and things and ideas that you can reach out into. And, many people, of course, obviously know that. And sometimes you do that in certain areas of your life, but not other areas. So, it's just the reality of the situation. I think you, Joel, had in the whole concept of making doctors sort of the answer end all be all, they are the ones who tell us what to do. You had a great story from a podcast that you listen to. Once that answer is given, it is the answer, kind of.
Yeah, especially in the older generation. Right. Yeah, the story actually came from a podcast that I listened to where the gentleman doing the podcast had a father who had, I don't remember if it was Alzheimer's or dementia or something, that he was still mostly functional. But he was just starting to lose a little bit of his cognitive function. And he kept complaining that either hot, too hot, too cold, and he'd always get up and crank the thermostat to, things that were outside the norm so that he would create his own hell, so to speak, of being too hot or too cold. And the only way they kept telling him, you just need to leave it where it is, and he wouldn't believe them. He wouldn't listen. So they actually went to his doctor that he trusted, and the doctor wrote him a prescription for keep the thermostat at 68 degrees for your health. And then he was totally fine the rest of it because he knew it was prescribed by his doctor. And yeah, it's weird that we have that complex in Western society.
Right. And one could argue that he has dementia, but I've seen people who don't have dementia, that are perfectly fine, who still very much says, oh, doctor says that, that's what I do. Oh, doctor says I can't do right. that kind of thing.
Let alone the weirdness of our pharmacology that's getting in there, that the commercials are telling us, oh, this, you need to talk to your doctor about this thing. I mean, we could go on a 5-year tangent on that, but we're building a culture where you tell people what their health should be and how to fix it rather than engaging them in conversation.
Oh, right. You mean like the commercials that say,
oh, yeah. Ask your doctor about
doctor for exactly. if Melanta or whatever is right for you. Actually, Melanta probably isn't even prescription.
Not usually.
My doctor says Melanta.
I'm sure they appreciate the press.
I don't even remember what Melanta is. See, that's how well those commercials work. I don't even remember what it's for. All I know is my doctor says Melanta. Total marketing sucker right here. So the reality is that the doctors, may have all or part of the answers for you.
Or unlikely as it may be, you might actually need that drug that's advertised in the commercial.
Right. And the question is it the right answer for you and your needs?
Right. Yeah, whether or not it's a commercial or a doctor, whether they have all the answers for you particularly is a whole different question.
Right, exactly. So my job is to provide additional perspectives, and that is what I plan to do, be they mine or guests that I might be interviewing as well. And the future of the podcast, we've got lots of things in the works, and nothing is totally settled on, so I'll let that build through the natural arc that it will build. So like I said, some ideas in the works, and thank you very much for joining us on the first podcast and just kind of trying to give you some sort of base and understanding of where I'm coming from, and we'll see where this all grows into. So definitely stay tuned as we have fun things planned ahead, definitely. And you can check me out on my ever-changing website, which is wellnessren.com. And that is wellness, R-E-N.com. So that's short for Renaissance, like if you went to the Ren Festival.
But who wants to spell Renaissance every day?
Exactly, because it's a big word. And not one we spell very often, quite frankly, unless you are a big into your Renaissance periods.
Wonderful spell check.
Yes, exactly. And then also, you can find me on Facebook. I am at Wellness Ren, so facebook.com/wellnessren. And I also have facebook.com gluten-free and other special diets. And that is more geared to people with special diets and gluten-free and allergies. And so that type of information tends to get posted there, where Wellness Ren is a little more general, but they both have good information that tends to serve quite a few different people. So thank you so much again for your time and for joining us. And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.